Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello, The Real Living. We're continuing our series on this wonderful book, well, on the general topic of spiritual gifts and basically moving up in power in the Lord. I was thinking about what we were going to say today, because it seems like it's a common thing that I've been saying. It's kind of a common thread or a common theme in what I have been talking about recently, both at the Bible study and also wherever I get to speak. And that is that our times, you know, the 21st century, the Western setting, the degradation of the culture, you know, the desperation, really, of many human beings who don't really think they're ever going to see a sign from God, who therefore don't believe in him, and they just buy into the worldly systems, you know, really requires what we're talking about. A society that has come to believe in itself as its own God and as the originator of all rights is a society that really needs to be broken out of its shell of complacency or despair by divine power. I mean, I think nothing less really than seeing someone healed or receiving a specific revelation for their lives are really going to break through these shells. What do you think, Mary Lou?
I totally agree, and I think we have a natural hunger for God, but it's been corrupted by society. So people are seeking something, and they're looking at it through the secular world instead of through where we know it really exists, is through a relationship with the Lord. And that's the only thing that satisfies. And looking anyplace else is just a temporary fix, if I can put it that way. Or it's a fix with the absence of God, really doesn't mean anything or generate the fruits which we all seek. Does that make
sense? So why should we get excited about the spiritual gifts? Well, we should get excited about the spiritual gifts because they, I think, are the avenue that the Lord has predestined for us to use to reach the dead and the dying. You know,
but we're all looking for those spiritual gifts. We all are seeking for for love and healing and for those fruits that come from all of that. I mean, mm-hmm. we're all hungry for God,
and we're hungry for God, and God will be found by us in the mode that we are able to receive Him. That's what makes Him such a good Father. He doesn't expect us to, you know, study for a whole lifetime in order to understand Him. He is found by those who seek Him. And not only is He found by those who seek Him, He makes Himself available even to those who are not seeking Him, but or who may think that they're not seeking Him, but they're seeking the pleasures of the world, or they're seeking other belief systems. But really, in the end, when we seek like that, we're seeking God. We just don't know it. We don't know that we are. Augustine says, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and we will be restless until we rest in you." Mm-hmm. Even though we try to fill the God-shaped vacuum in our hearts with all kinds of other stuff, we will never be content until the God-shaped hole is filled with Himself. And so that's why we have been on such a long series talking about spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts are the ways that God interacts or interfaces with us and lets us know, even to our poor natural senses, that He is there, that there is more, that He is powerful, that it's not all a bunch of words, you know? I think many people, especially millennials, are not going to be really converted by words. They're going to be converted by truth, by beauty, and by power. And so I think nothing less sometimes than a sovereign move of power of God, it's going to break through the hardened shells of complacency or unbelief that many people armor themselves with.
It's also so that's, going back to the roots of the early church, where there were signs and wonders. People expected them. They anticipated them. They believed that they would come, and they did. And we kind of lost that for a period of time. And I think now, when we've talked about this, that there's a sense that this is coming back.
Well, and it's in a way it never left, because anywhere the Lord has been working in power, there's always been signs and wonders. Like, so we, you know, in our Catholic tradition, we think about the lives of the saints and the lives of certain communities. You know, we've had those signs, those wonders throughout the age of the church. They just haven't become widely reported.
But we haven't claimed them for ourselves to participate. And I think that's the difference.
And we don't expect them. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Even in the Protestant traditions, they're even worse off, really, because, you know, other than certain various revival movements, such as Charles Wesley and the Pentecostal revival thing at the beginning of the 1900s, two, you know, the mainline Protestant denominations are very squarely and soberly sort of saying that God's signs and wonders just don't show up anymore. And so that's why it's so great when he just breaks through both Protestant expectations and Catholic expectations that somehow that's not going to apply to me today, you know, or this year or in my life. And he says, no, actually, yes, if you're willing, I will use you. That's why we're continuing to talk about the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, Using Your Gifts to Build the Kingdom, which is a book written by Randy Clark and Dr. Mary Healy. So by a Protestant, Dr. Randy Clark and Dr. Mary Healy, a Protestant pastor who specializes in healing, goes all over the world on healing crusades, and Dr. Mary Healy, a professor of Scripture at the Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, a member of another Pontifical Biblical Commission, as well as being the co-author and the co-editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. So this is no slouch. We're not talking about any slouches here. We're talking about people who really pursue the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, but also as fully as their intellect will let them engage. So this book is a particularly happy partnership between Randy Clark's experience over four decades and seeing people healed, and Mary Healy's search for the divine power. Now, as you know, she was here in Lexington last year and is going to be returning again this year to speak to us. Just along those lines, don't give up hope because God is in the house. You know, don't give up hope because this is our tradition. This is our heritage. And if we are limited, we are limited by our own sets of expectations, our own sets of disbelief, our own fears, our own doubts, you know, our own ignorance, perhaps. That's why I think instructing or speaking about these things brings out faith in people. I think it brings out excitement. It raises the level of faith. So that's why we spent all this time on this book. And we were speaking about the phenomena of the stirring up of the gifts of the Spirit received at baptism and confirmation. It's been known as, it's been called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Italian, in Spanish, and in French, it's called the effusion or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's been called an impartation. It's been called an empowerment. It's been called a special anointing. I mean, there's many words for just the sovereign move of God that comes in and stirs up in us the graces of baptism and confirmation, because we know the sacramental dispensation is always objectively powerful, but we limit its efficacy, or rather we don't unwrap the gifts when it's given to us through because of the fact that we might be ignorant. We might not know that we have all this power within us, all these gifts. Or we might be afraid of whatever it is that the Lord has given us, right? So oftentimes we just limit what God can do. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is basically an encounter with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, allows those things that we've always had to be stirred up from the bottom. And so last time we left off at some pretty powerful examples of people who received a further anointing or a further stirring up of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and have gone on to do pretty miraculous things. Now, of course, in our Catholic tradition, we have things like the saints. You know, we have, for instance, you know, the great missionary saints. We have Ignatius of Loyola and Francis Xavier, and we have Mother Cabrini and Mother Seton, and we have, you know, just to think about a few, Father St. Damien of Molokai, and, I mean, there's all kinds of saints. If you follow at all any kind of devotional that tells you about the saints of the day, there's always a saint, and there's always a saint who went out beyond their comfort zone and acted within the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about the kingdom of God. Last time we left off some examples in the Protestant churches of people who did yield to the stirring up the gifts of the Spirit and the things that they've done. In the book, Randy Clark speaks about a couple of examples. Last time we closed with the example of Dr. Leif Heitland, who is a Norwegian pastor who received a further stirring up of the Holy Spirit. And the main point here is that once you receive this prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't just receive it once and then it's good for the rest of your life. You keep asking for more. You keep asking for a stirring up. You keep asking for the Lord to refresh you and to renew you. And that's what these people did. So Dr. Leif Heitland actually felt the Lord saying that he was going to go and lead many, many, many people to the Lord, which, you know, a lot of us are like, yeah, sure, Lord, where, in what universe? When is that going to happen?
Yeah, and, when do I pack my bags?
Yeah, and he instead just felt like he happened to be doing a ministry in the Middle East after many years of ministry somewhere else, and they had an extraordinary fruitfulness. So he stayed and he concentrated on the Middle East, which is, of course, ministry to Islam, to Muslims, and has seen over 750,000 people converted to the faith in Pakistan, which I think that's just amazing. And then the other example he gives is the example of a lady named Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker, as well, has a doctorate, Dr. Heidi Baker and her husband, Dr. Roland Baker. And they had been for many years in Mozambique. But then it wasn't until she received a special further anointing or prayer or stirring up that things started moving in Mozambique. You read the book, Mary Lou. What did it say?
Well, her book is called Compelled by Love. And it is how to change the world through the simple power of love and action. And she really demonstrates that every place she goes in Mozambique, because they have nothing. They don't have any money. They don't have any accessories to really think that they can build up churches all over that country. But yet, because she's compelled by this love and service to those in need, things happen. Money comes in, food comes in, people are truly healed, they're raised from the dead, they're the children over there, many times are victims of assaults, they are criminals themselves. I mean, she's talking about areas where there's really no law, no order at all, and yet she will take these children in as her own, and she'll start out with a few and they become hundreds. And somehow, some way, God always provides a way to take care of them. And in her book, as you go through her book, and she had visions that she was supposed to do this. She felt compelled by God that that was where she was supposed to go. And when she went to Mozambique, she and her husband, I think they had like $30. I mean, they had really nothing. And the book is broken down into the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the poor in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And in each and every chapter, she will give examples of how this applies. And the what I thought was extraordinary and surprising to me, Lavinia, was her connection to Mother Teresa. Because throughout each chapter, she will quote something that Mother Teresa has said, and her ministry is very similar to Mother Teresa's, is to see Jesus in the face of each and every child and each and every individual that comes into her life. And this is a person who has been jailed, who has been beaten, who has, you know, suffered, you know, some unbearable things in going into Mozambique and doing this. And it was just a treat for me to see how connected it was to the theology, if I can use that word, of Mother Teresa or her approach to the poor. And it reminded me of how wise Mother Teresa is. And just one quote I just want to share of Mother Teresa's, because this is in the chapter where it's "Blessed are the merciful." And as you begin the chapter, she quotes Mother Teresa saying, "At the moment of death, we will not be judged according to the number of good deeds we have done or by the diplomas we have received in our lifetime. We will be judged according to the love we have put into our work." And that, I think, really describes Heidi to a T. It is the love that she puts into her work, never doubting God's providence in what she's doing. And she will talk about riots where they literally, these people burned down the kitchen and they were rioting. She didn't know what to do. And so she said, I asked God what to do. I knew he would create something from nothing because he is God. It was a very difficult situation. We felt our lives were at stake. But I also knew that God promised to bless those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then God told her to go into the middle of this riot, believe it or not. And she started to cry and told them how sorrowful she was. And to approach people with the thought of forgiveness, of how sorry she was that they were suffering. And, you know, it's kind of like meeting them where they are. To make a long story short, the mob stopped screaming. They stopped fighting. They were looking at me, and they said that they forgave her, and she needed food to feed everyone. And a truck came up with a pot of food. There was only enough for a few people. They kept serving it, and guess what? They had enough food for everyone. I mean, there are tons and tons of stories of how healings come about with her just wrapping her arms around these children and telling them how much God loves them and not letting them go till they accept that. Blind, and how many of these children regained their sight. And people that she has worked with, they start going out and evangelizing and bringing people in. And it's just remarkable, because it seems like it's something that you can hardly wrap your mind around. But this is what she's been doing, I think, now for 30 years.
Yeah, it's been 30 plus years. Yeah, it's been 30 plus years. I love the story in the book where she evangelizes and she has the orphanages and she has the young kids who work with her, right?
Right.
And the mothers in the villages who are like the healers in the villages. I love the story where two or three of her buddies, you know, young kids, like 12-year-old boys, were traveling somewhere in Mozambique and found one of their friends. So one of a 12-year-old boy dead in a ditch. Remember that story? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They come across their friend. They know he's dead. But because they had been around Heidi and the Lord was speaking to them, they laid their hands on him and they raised this kid from the dead. That is what just blew me away. Because it's not just one person, you know. It's everybody.
They all become anointed.
Right?
Yes.
And then on
yes.
TV, on video, I've seen her speak about how they've gotten to the point where those mothers, you know, the women, the healers, the wise women in the villages, which are scattered and far apart and can't be always running to Heidi, that when children are stillborn or when the children die, they will come and they put them in the arms of this woman who's known as a woman of prayer. And she will be with this child for 3 days trying to raise them from the dead.
She
and
never
oftentimes, and oftentimes they do.
Yes.
So I love this fact that it's not just her and it's not just her husband. It's these people in Mozambique who have been equipped through her example.
In her work, she has such faith. She has such belief. She has, all that. She's exercising all the gifts of prophecy, of wisdom, of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's the whole package, and it's being passed from her to these young children who carry it on to others and others and others. And I have to say, if there was one other thing that I loved in this book, it's at the end of the book where she also has something from Mother Teresa where it talks about how I thirst for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long dissertation from Mother Teresa about that. But one line in there, yes, I thirst for you. This is God. It's the rest of the Psalm verse, which I was praying, says of me, I looked for love and I found none. All of your life I've been looking for your love. I have never stopped seeking to love and to be loved by you. You have tried many other things in your search for happiness. Why not try opening your heart to me right now more than you ever have before? And I think opening your heart is a key to this and a key to what Heidi says and does each and every day is she just exudes love to everyone in every situation, and she never doubts that God is going to take care of it.
I would encourage anybody to go online and Google Heidi Baker and watch some of her interviews or some of her conference talks, because you hear all these things about her and you think you're going to find somebody who looks like Mother Teresa. And yet, here's this attractive blonde girl from Texas.
Yes.
Who is being used mightily by God. It's just amazing. We're going to have to close our show, but what we want to do is just remind everybody that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the stirring up of the gifts of baptism and confirmation, is something that Pope Francis has told us that we need to share. So that's why we're here on the radio, Mary Lou and I. We're here because we want you to know that there is more, that our God is God of power, that He loves you, that He loves us, and that He will work through you, and that He will work in your life. But the next step is just take Him at His word. Ask the Lord to come and stir up the gifts of baptism and confirmation in your life. Pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit, and seize what happens. Thanks for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutten, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at CincinnatiMensConference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's CincinnatiMensConference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at BreadboxMedia.com.